Open your Bibles, please, to the book of 1 Samuel, the second chapter. In your Schofield Bible, page 321. We'll begin with the 18th verse and read through verse 21. These four verses we'll read responsively. The text verse is the 21st verse. Let's stand, please, for the reading of the Word of God. But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat, and brought it to him from year to year, when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. And Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife, and said, The Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. And the Lord visited Hannah, so that she conceived, and bare three sons and two daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord. And let's pray. Father, this, of course, should be recognized as a unique service. It's the service that will be unlike any other service that's ever been held here. Never will this same group of people, as is here tonight, be assembled again, person for person. This certainly puts a heavy responsibility upon our preacher. We must hear from thee tonight, and of course our preacher is the one to tell us of thee and to give us that which you've placed upon his heart. How we pray for him, how we pray for thy help for us to realize, at least to some degree, the grave responsibility that is ours as well to hear thy word as it's preached. Help us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're getting off to an early start tonight. We may get out of here by 7:45 if we hurry. If I got out at 7:45, you'd go sit in your car and wonder what to do. Yeah. You're not programmed. You're not programmed to 7:45, but we are ahead of schedule. If I'll quit messing around up here and go to preaching, we'll get out of here at 9:30 or 10. I want to speak tonight on the subject, It's Still a Miracle. It's Still a Miracle. Our Heavenly Father, I want your help. Well, in fact, I have to have it. Please, if I do anything to help this great multitude of people, I'll have to have your help. And I also have to have their attention. May I have both tonight, please. In Jesus' name, amen. Let me lay the foundation for the sermon. There was a man who lived on Mount Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah. Now, in the days of Elkanah, back in the days of the judges preceding the anointing of the first king of Israel, in those days, they did not have the Bible that we have, nor all the instruction that we have. And part of the instruction they did not have was concerning marriage. It was not right for a person to have more than one wife. But they did not have all the instruction and the light that we have. And so this man, Elkanah, had two wives. That is probably a problem, having all that extra support, but does come in handy on April 15th. That's funny, I wish you'd have heard that. But Elkanah had two wives. One of those wives was named Peninnah, and the other was named Hannah. Peninnah had children by Samuel, and by Elkanah, pardon me. And it's always good that you listen to my mistakes. When I say something good, you're sound asleep. But Peninnah had children by Elkanah, but Hannah was barren. Now, at that time, the house of God was temporarily located in a place called Shiloh. Once a year, or periodically, sometimes three times a year, the people would go to Shiloh to worship. As they would go to Shiloh to worship, Peninnah, who had children, would make fun of Hannah, who had no children. She would mock her. And this grieved Hannah very, very much. Happened every time they went. The entire family would go to Shiloh to worship. And on the journey, Peninnah would jest and make fun of Hannah. Hannah longed to have a child. Look at me and listen to me now. No writing, no taking notes. Listen to me. Hannah longed to have a child. She longed to have a child because she wanted to mother a child, and she wanted to have a son, as any woman does. It's okay to have a girl, but as you know, they don't amount to much when they grow up. Then not 15 men had guts enough to say amen. They're not 15 men. Oh, yeah, you say it now. Sure, yeah. But Hannah wanted to have a boy. Certainly she wanted to have a child. So one day she was near the temple in Shiloh, or at the temple in Shiloh, and she began to pray, and this was her prayer. She prayed often. She said, "Dear God, if you'll give me a son, I'll let you have him back. I think she used the term, lend him to you. At least I'll let you have him back." Her lips moved and her heart spoke, but her voice could not be heard. Eli was the high priest at the time, and Eli saw her. And Eli said, "Hannah, you put that strong drink up. You've been drinking. I mean, you're drunk. Have you ever prayed so hard that folks thought that you were drunk or irrational?" Well, Hannah was praying so hard for God to give her a child, a son, that Eli, the priest, thought she was drunk. She said, "No, I'm not drunk. I'm bitter." And the word bitter does not mean the same thing that you and I talk about when somebody gets bitter. And by the way, nobody will ever do that. That's a piddling thing for a child of God to do. And, anybody who's a dirty sinner like all of us are, who deserves to go to hell like all of us do, who has been the object of God's grace and the recipients of God's salvation, whose name is written in heaven, whose sins are forgiven, to whom God will not charge any sins whatsoever, for you to get bitter is utterly ridiculous and a wicked, vile, filthy sin. Anyway, she said, "I'm bitter." She did not mean bitter to the sense that we mean it. She meant, "I'm exceeding sorrowful. I long to have a son." And so Eli, the high priest, interceded for her. And God, because of his intercession, God said to Hannah, "I'm going to give you a child." And God did give her a child. And unlike many of us, she kept her promise that she made to God when she was in trouble. She did. She let God have the child. And she brought the child to the house of God. And that child was reared in the house of God. I mean that he was not reared at home. Now, I don't want to make this say this is what y'all do, but I'll tell you one thing. Apart from your home, the church house ought to be the place your child is the most. The world's gotten too wicked for your child to play in the little leagues out in the world. The world's gotten too wicked for you to put your child in the Boy Scouts or the Girl Scouts, the Brownies, anything like that. The world's too wicked for that. I mean, brother, your child ought to go to church and home. That's about the size of it. And I'll tell you another thing, too. We have enough going on at this church to keep your child busy and to see to it that your child can have all of his activities in the church, through the church, and when he's not at home. In fact, we even keep it so busy, we can keep him from being at home. But and now you know what I'm talking about. I don't need to do. But I'm simply saying that she said, "I'm going to keep my promise, keep my vow." And she brought Samuel, her child, and she put him in the house of God, he was reared in the house of God. Once a year she would come and she'd bring him a little coat of many colors. And she would pray for him and see him. And he was actually reared in the house of God as she promised she would allow him to be reared. But there's an unknown part of this story. It was a miracle when Hannah got pregnant. She was barren. It was a miracle of God that God gave life to the seed of Elkanah, or opened the womb, better still, of Hannah, and she had a child. But there's something else that happened. The Bible says that Hannah conceived again. Now, that's just as much a miracle as the first time. But nobody thinks about that. Why? We get accustomed to miracles. There's an unknown part, a part of the story that's almost unknown. Most of you did not know this. But Hannah got pregnant the second time, and she had a child. And though there's very little said about it, it was still a miracle. For Hannah's womb would still have been closed had it not been for the miracle of God. It was just as much a miracle that Hannah had her second child as it was she had the third child. And then Hannah got pregnant again. And that was a miracle also. But it doesn't seem too important to us. Nobody teaches about that. You think of Hannah, you think about Samuel, you think about the first child. But she had this third child, and that was as much a miracle as the first child was. That isn't all. She got pregnant again. I remember that. I anointed her with oil. And and some of you kids think I was there, but she got pregnant again. And she gave birth to the fourth child. Are you listening? Now, that's as much a miracle as the first child. But not much is said about that, because now we're accustomed to miracles. We're accustomed to God opening the womb of Hannah now. That isn't all. Hannah got pregnant the fifth time. And she had the fifth child. That's where the first basketball team was begun. Oh, brother. But anyway, she had the fifth child. Now, it was as much a miracle for Hannah to get pregnant the fifth time as it was the first time. But not much is said about that. Well, what I'm trying to say, that it was still a miracle. I don't understand this. I don't understand how people can live in the First Baptist Church of Hammond in a miracle church in gripe. I don't understand that. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend why anybody could live in a... Anyway, because you're used to the miracles. And so you'll pick out one little thing that's negative that you don't like, and you'll criticize that one little thing, and yet you're living in the midst of miracles. Hey, brother, you're living in a miracle. And by the way, when you first came here, you knew it was a miracle, but it's just as much a miracle tonight as it was the first time you walked in this auditorium. Can you imagine Hannah complaining because it was too hot? Can you imagine Hannah complaining because somebody didn't treat her right? Can you imagine Hannah getting bitter? Oh, no, 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 no. No. Why? Because Hannah was living in miracles. And I want to say it again. That second child was as much a miracle as the first child. And that third child was as much a miracle as the first two. And that fourth child was as much a miracle as the first three. And that fifth child was as much a miracle as the first four. But the tragedy is, we get used to miracles. I want to stand tonight and tell you, it is a sin to get accustomed to miracles. It was a miracle the first time water came from that rock in Horeb, when Moses took the rod that God had given him and had caused Moses to throw on the ground. It became a serpent, picked it up. It became a rod again. He took that same rod, smote the rock in Horeb. It was a miracle when water gushed out of that rock enough to take care of the needs of three and a half million Jews. But it was just as much a miracle 40 years later when that rock was still gushing water for the Jews. It was a miracle when manna came from heaven. When the Israelites had nothing to eat, and they had no McDonald's in those days, and no Dairy Queen, and no Burger King, and they had no grocery stores, and they had no stoves, and they had no way to cook food, and they're in the wilderness out there. It was a miracle when God said to Moses, I'm going to send you manna from heaven. And that morning, they woke up that first morning, and there was manna all over the ground, like the hoary frost of the dawn, all over the ground. And there was a little one-a-day vitamin tablet to sustain them.
and they looked and they saw it. It was a miracle. But ladies and gentlemen, it was just as much a miracle 40 years later. And for those 40 years, when every morning for those 40 years, except the Sabbath day and the day before the Sabbath, God gave them twice enough and let it be fresh through the Sabbath day, it was just as much a miracle. I'm saying, don't get used to living in miracles. It was a miracle when 3,000 people were saved on Pentecost. It's a miracle when that church worked and prayed, and down those aisles in that first church in Jerusalem, 3,000 people walked down the aisle. It was a miracle. But it was just as much a miracle in 1990 when 4,195 people walked the aisle in First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And it was just as much a miracle when the next year, in 1991, 3,300 people walked the aisle in one service. And it was just as much a miracle in 1992 when 4,995 people walked the aisle in one day for salvation. I'm saying tonight, in God's name, let's not get used to the marvelous miracle-working power of our holy God. I was preaching not long ago with a preacher who doesn't care much for me. He's not my favorite either. But he preached, and he said, we've got to get back to evangelism. We've got to get back to I like soul winning better than evangelism. But anyway, we've got to get back to evangelism. He said, we've got to get back to it. Got to get back to it. Got to get back to it. I got up and told about three times we had more than 3,000 people say. In fact, in his sermon, he said, we need a Pentecost again. We need a Pentecost again. Well, I got up and told him we had three of them. He didn't even say amen. Now, I want to tell you something, folks. You ought to have complained for your last time. You ought to have griped for your last time. I mean, here we are living in days of miracles. Oh, I'd love to have lived in the days of Spurgeon. I'd love to live in the days of Dwight Moody. I'd love to live in the days of Billy Sunday. Well, bless God, you're living in the days of First Baptist Church of Hammond, Indiana. And for you to sit here and gripe and get bitter is ridiculous, filthy, vile, stinking, rotten, putrid, sorry, wicked sin. It was a miracle when a pillar of cloud led them by day and a pillar of fire led them by night. It was a miracle when God said, you don't know your way across the wilderness to the land of promise. You don't have to know. You have no road maps. You have no trains. You have no compass. You don't have to know. Because you follow by day that pillar of cloud, and you follow by night that pillar of fire, and I'll lead you all the way to the promised land. It was a miracle. A miracle. It was just as much a miracle 40 years later when that pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night was still leading the people of God. It was a miracle when God said to them, your feet will, when your feet grow, your shoes will grow with your feet, and your clothes will grow as your body grows. It was a miracle. It was as much a miracle 40 years later. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget that it's just as much a miracle when God performs a miracle today as it was the first time you ever heard one. It was a miracle when Eve conceived and brought forth Cain. It was a miracle when the love of Adam and Eve united in the conception of a child. It was a miracle when a man and a woman and God's blessings could unite and bring forth a never-dying soul. It was a miracle. It was just as much a miracle when I read that announcement a while ago, when that little child was born, when two people in their love conceived a child, a never-dying soul. Ladies and gentlemen, when I stand up here and tell you about babies being born, a miracle has taken place. It's still a miracle. It was a miracle when God said, let there be light. And the great light came to rule the day, and the lesser light came to rule the night, and God made the stars also. It was just as much a miracle when that sun rose in the east this morning, and just as much a miracle when that sun set in the west this evening. And it's just as much a miracle today that God holds the universe on His shoulders and causes the sun to rise on time and set on time and puts the moon where it ought to be and keeps all the planets just in the right spot. I mean, it's still a miracle. Praise God. Hallelujah. He's a miracle-working God. Oh, my soul in heaven grieves when we complain. Brother, I'll be quite frank with you. I just don't participate in it. God's been too good for me to gripe. God's been too good for me to complain. Why? I'll tell you why. Because the miracles of yesterday, they're still miracles when God does what He always did. It was a miracle when God first made plant life. And when that little seed could be placed in the ground, and that little seed could germinate, and with the rains that fall from heaven, and with the rays of the sun, that seed could germinate. And from that little seed could come food for man to eat. That was a miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, it's as much a miracle this summer when the crops come. From the germinating. I mean, it's still a miracle. Man can't give life. God gives life. Man can't germinate seed. God germinates seed. Man can't bring forth human life, plant life, animal life. It's God that does it. But it's still a miracle. Praise God for a miracle-working God. It was a miracle when God put the birds in the air and the fish in the sea and the beasts to roam the fields. It still is a miracle. This afternoon I was in the woods. I saw a beautiful deer with antlers. And I just stood and watched that deer for a while. Then I went to a spot in the woods and I saw some squirrels gathering food and eating it. And I watched them for a while. And I got to thinking, my Heavenly Father is feeding those squirrels right now. It's a miracle. That all the birds of the air, God feeds them. And all the beasts of the field, God feeds them. And all the fish of the sea, God feeds them. And it's greater that He feeds me. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what I'm trying to say tonight? Don't ever complain again. Don't ever gripe again. Don't ever be negative again. Every moment of your life, there are 10,000 things for which you can praise God. It was a miracle when God sprayed the scent on the gardenia, but that gardenia still sends forth the same aroma as it did when God created it. It was a miracle when God raised the redwoods of Northern California. It was a miracle when God raised the pine trees of Carolina. It was a miracle when God dropped the 10,000 lakes of Minnesota. It was a miracle when God raised those mountains of Colorado. And it's still a miracle. I'm saying our God is still in the miracle working business. Hey, Hannah, that second child is a miracle. Praise God as you did the first. And that third child is a miracle child. And that fourth child is a miracle child. And that fifth child is a miracle child. It was a miracle when in the summer of 1937, God reached down to a little poor boy reared in the ghettos of Southwest Dallas with a neighborhood drunk for a daddy in the Depression days. It was a miracle when God planted in that little boy a new creature. And a new creation, something was born inside that little boy. A miracle took place. I was born again. Hey, folks got born again this morning. Miracles took place again this morning right here. It's as much a miracle tonight at the age of 67. It's as much a miracle tonight as it was in August of 1937, because that new creature that was born in the summer of 1937 is still alive tonight and will never die and will always live. I'm simply saying, it is still a miracle. I'm still a new creature. I'm still a child of God. I'm still saved. Praise God. It's still a miracle. It was a miracle that first morning, a little timid, shy preacher had never preached a sermon and didn't even know he was supposed to prepare for a sermon. He thought God would tell him what to say. It was a miracle when I stood before that first congregation, the first Sunday morning I ever stood before a congregation. It's been over 45 years ago, nearly 46 years ago, and I stood up to preach that morning, and a little timid, shy Jackie boy Hiles, who sucked his thumb when he was 14 years of age and was an introvert, when that little boy stood up that morning, and all of a sudden God transformed that little timid fella into a man of God. And I preached that morning. A miracle took place. But praise God, that miracle is taking place again right now. It's just just as much a miracle that God could use me tonight as it was 46 years ago. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to get used to it. I'm just not going to get used to it. You want to sit there and sleep tonight and take a nap? Go right ahead and enjoy yourself. Hope you have miserable dreams. Hope you dream about snakes while I'm preaching. But go ahead and do it and sit there like a bump on a log if you want to. But God has worked miracles in my life and I'm not going to get used to it. It's still a miracle. It was a miracle when I timidly witnessed to my first convert in personal soul winning. It was a miracle that God could use little Jackie Boy Hiles. Listen to me, little Jackie Boy Hiles, to win a soul to Christ. It was a miracle that God could use me to take His precious word and reveal the story of salvation. And a person who was going to hell is now going to heaven. A person who was lost is now saved. A person who was a child of the devil is now a child of God. He has his name written in heaven. And I had a part. It was a miracle. It was just as much a miracle this week when I won that young married man to Jesus Christ as it was many years ago when I won my first soul to Christ. Oh, my soul. Most of you didn't even know Hannah had five kids. You didn't know it. You knew she had Samuel, and you knew that was a miracle. But four more times God opened her womb also. How wicked we are. How vile we are. We only enjoy the first time a miracle is performed. It was a miracle. In 1960, when this church went through our first storm, a young Texas preacher had come to pastor this great church. It was a miracle when we had our first big storm. We've not had any storm inside the church since then. We've had some storms outside. We haven't had what I'd call any storms. But 33 years ago, we pulled out of the American Baptist Convention. Now, every church that's in it ought to pull out. In fact, every church that's in it will pull out. It's not a church anymore. But I'm saying, it was stormy. I'll never cease to thank God for that man right there and for the people who are here tonight that stood beside me in those early days. For a Texas preacher, you didn't even know to come here and totally different from what you're accustomed to and changed almost everything. And yet God miraculously saw us through it and has built the greatest church in America here on this corner. People still come by here and say, where are your prospects? Where are your houses? Where do your people live? And they say to me, I don't see how in the world you're building a church downtown. We're not. Jesus is building a church downtown. It's a miracle how God saw us through those early days. A miracle. You didn't know me. You didn't know to love me. You didn't know what I was like. You trusted me. It's a miracle the old church went through it. But it's just as much a miracle that the gates of hell have not prevailed against this church for 34 years. It's a miracle we're having this service tonight. It's a miracle this building is filled tonight. It's a miracle hundreds and thousands of people get saved every year. It's a miracle 7,000-8,000 people or more get baptized up there every year. It's still a miracle, praise God, after 34 wonderful years. But there's something about the church I don't like. Well, then find one you do like. Get you some dead church where the pastor wears lace on his pajamas. Where you can take his where you can take his little nose and lead him across. Go out and find you one, but you're not going to do it here. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, have a spell, throw a fit. We're living in a miracle working church. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It was a miracle. The first Sunday we came here. It was a miracle we started having people saved. We're having about 10 people saved every Sunday. Didn't have a bus ministry. Didn't have a Spanish ministry. Didn't have retarded ministry except the bass section of the choir. didn't. I think in those days we had pretty intelligent people in the choir, but we didn't have a Vietnamese ministry. We didn't have a death ministry. We just preached. Nobody was winning souls to Christ. Hardly anybody knew how to be a soul winner. I remember Brother Ed Wolbers said one day, he said, "This is a miracle." He said, 10 people saved every Sunday. He said, "We can't keep on doing this. We'll run out of people to get saved. 10 a Sunday?" Praise God. We averaged last year about 450 to 500 a Sunday. And we averaged 160 folks getting baptized last year, every Sunday of the year. I'm saying, ladies and gentlemen, it was a miracle back yonder when the aisles were filled and the altars were filled. Hey, that first Sunday you came here, hey, I can't believe this. I mean, what's going on here? This must be a special revival, a special campaign. Yeah, every Sunday is a special revival. But I want you to know, ladies and gentlemen, it was just as much a miracle this morning when this altar was filled as it was 34 years ago. Okay, now rejoice as much as you did 34 years ago. It's a shame that those four other children get no credit. It's a shame that our God gets no praise for the four other children. For those four children that came after Samuel were just as much a miracle of God Almighty as Samuel himself was. It was a miracle when in 1970 we opened the doors to Hammond Baptist High School. Nobody had a Christian school within miles of here in those days. They said we couldn't do it, and we couldn't, but knew somebody who could. It was a miracle. We went out there as deacons one Saturday night, looked at a wilderness, couldn't even see 10 feet in front of you because of the trees and the shrub brush. A wilderness. 6 months from that night, we had built streets in Baptist City and put the light poles and the light wires up and put the sewer line in and built, I think, 13 buildings or so. In 6 months in open school in September of 1990, and in a few months, years after that, we had the Baptist City. I'm saying that was a miracle. Praise God tonight. The fact that those schools are still open is still a miracle. As great a miracle took place in September 1993 as took place in September 1970. It was a miracle when one church said, "We're going to start a college. God wants us to start a college." It was a miracle we opened the doors out of that college in a Baptist city location. A miracle. It's a miracle that first year when over 250 students came from across America. It was a miracle that God gave us that Catholic campus out there. I'll never forget the night I walked in there and talked to Father so-and-so. Couldn't tell what he looked like because the smoke was too thick. He pulled his skirt up, walked across the room. I said, "I've come. I want to buy your campus here." He said, "Who are you?" I said, "Jack Hiles, pastor of First Baptist Church." He said, "If we ever sell this campus, the last folks we'll sell it to will be the Baptists." And I said, "You're right." I said, "You're right. The last folks you'll sell it to will be the Baptists." For a year, I went out there one night a month and took my shoes off and walked around, and through the night, I prayed for God to give us that campus. I said, "Lord, don't send any more students here to this Catholic seminary." And the enrollment went down and down and down and down, and I cried and cried and cried and cried. And finally, one day, I got a phone call and said, "We only have 7 students out here. Are you still interested in buying it?" "We didn't have any money." I said, "What do you want for it?" They said, $3.5 million. Well, I said, "I wouldn't give a dime more than $2 million. I may as well say $2 million. They have 2,000. They said, "You can't have it for $2 million. I said, "We won't take it then." They said, "Okay, we'll come down to $3 million. I waited a while, called them back, and I said, $2.5 million's our last offer. Didn't have a dime. Not a dime." They said, "We can't let you have $2.5 million. I said, "Then forget it." One day they called me Before I left to go to the airport, I went out to the airport and stopped on the way to the airport and called them, and they said, "We decided to let you have it for $2.5 million. I said, "To whom do we write the check? We have any money. You don't have to have any money if you've got a living God." Praise God. I said, "We'll pay it off in 18 months. I said, "We'll give you $300,000 for $200,000 for a year and $100,000 for the 6 months. Give you $300,000 rent for a year and a half. I'll pay it off $2.5 million in a year and a half." Praise God. Miracles took place. You wouldn't believe all the miracles that took place. I saw ladies in this church, over 100 of them, take off their wedding bands and turn their wedding bands in. And they were sold so we could take that money and pay off Hiles Anderson College. And the next time you little punk goes out to college and break the rules and live like the devil and go out neck and pet. And won't you get out? We didn't build that school of punk goes like you. That school was built with the sacrificial giving of God's people. It was America. But brother, when the devil has sent every kind of a weapon at us for the last many years, it was just as much a miracle we opened the doors out there in September of 1993 as it was we opened the doors of Hiles Anderson College in September of 92. You living in America. Things all right. Shut up. If I can put up with you, you can put up with anything. I might not like your griping either, but I'm not going to spend my time worrying about it or talking about it. I'm living in miracles. I'm seeing miracles. You just like that preacher I'm talking about a while ago. We need evangelism. We need evangelism. We need evangelism. But you see it, you won't recognize it. There are people right here in this building praying for revival. You're living in it. Oh, give us revival. Give us revival. Well, what in the name of common sense is going on around here? What was that altar this morning filled? What was that? Apostasy? And yet, you rascals, you won't even come back to church on Wednesday night. You are living in a miracle-working church in God's name. Realize it. When Samuel was conceived, it was a miracle. About 5 years later, after four others had been conceived, it was still a miracle. It was still the mighty hand of God that opened the womb of Hannah and brought forth all four of the other children. It was a miracle when God supplied our needs financially in 1960. People came to my office who were wealthy people and some of the biggest financiers. I can't even say it, much less be one. They had more dough than most anybody in town. They came to my office and they said, "We'll see to it that your building will be foreclosed. Without our money, you won't be able to make the payments on your building." I mean, wealthy, multimillionaires came and said, "We have kept this church afloat." No, sir, God has kept this church afloat. It's a miracle this church stayed open back in those days. It's a miracle that God supplied our needs financially. But brother, it's just as much a miracle tonight. Do you know, when we had to refinance our loan just a matter of about 3 or 4 years, a few years ago, you know, with churches all across America begging for money and trying to find places to let them borrow money, you know, we had folks all the way from Chicago to St. Louis begging us to let them refinance us. We took bids on it. I mean, they said, "You got the best credit rating in this whole area. You pay your debts on time." It's a miracle. It's a miracle. It's a miracle. An East Texas preacher could come to Chicago. I wish you could have been in a service here 35 years ago on Sunday morning.
And I wish you could hear me preach tonight right after that service. It's a little bit different. It's a miracle. I mean, a loud-mouthed, hollering, good-looking Texas... I mean, a loud-mouthed, hollering Texas preacher. Came to a place that didn't even speak English. Had to teach you the Bible, but also teach you the customs of America. And teach you how to speak English properly. You folks called an automobile a car instead of a car. I had to teach you it's a car. Just like a horse. Core, horse. But it's a miracle. It's a miracle. And it still is a miracle. The Bible calls it leaving our first love. The Bible calls it leaving our first love. The Bible calls it being at ease in Zion. I was thinking about that this afternoon. At ease in Zion. We say, oh, at ease. Shouldn't be at ease. But wait, look where they were at ease at. In Zion. Didn't say at ease in Cairo. Didn't say at ease in Waxahachie, Texas. At ease in Zion. On Zion's hill. The place where the Last Supper was held. The place where they prayed down the power of God on Pentecost. The place where Jesus shall reign for 1,000 years. The place that will be capital city of the whole world. There they sat in Zion, at ease in Zion. And God said, how in the world could you be in Zion and be at ease? It's going to be good for some of you when this great work goes down. And the people that gripe the most now will be the ones that will gripe the most because it's no longer here someday. And I don't want it to happen, but if it does happen, it's going to serve some of you right. It'll do some of us good when we come to church and see this section right here and this section filled and the rest of the building empty. It'll do some of us good to see an invitation conducted when nobody kneels at this altar at all. It'll do some of us good. We get up in December and say, baptize our 50th convert this year. Ladies and gentlemen, God is still performing miracles. And that thing that God did back yonder, He's still doing. And that second child is as much a miracle as the first one. And that third child is miraculous as the fourth one, first one. And that fourth child is miraculous as the first three. And that fifth child is as much a miracle when Anna conceived and brought forth that child as were the first four. The Jews were in bondage in Egypt. Slaves in the brick factories. Almost starving to death. Unappreciated, uncared for. And God raised up a deliverer named Moses. Moses went to Pharaoh and said, you let my people go. And God miraculously sent plagues. Finally, through the plague of the Passover lamb, Pharaoh let the people go. They came to the river of the Red Sea. And the Red Sea was inevitable death because pursuing them were the Egyptian armies. On one side, the armies of Egypt. On the other side, the mighty waters of the Red Sea. And God said, Moses, smite the waters. And he did, and the waters parted. But that's not enough. You still got mighty, mighty wet, soft bottom of the sea. And God sent a mighty wind, and he dried up the waters, the ground where the sea was parted. And 3.5 million Jews walked over on dry ground. They got on the other side. But here come the armies of Egypt. And they got in that highway across through the Red Sea. And God decided that the waters had been parted long enough. and they were baptized permanently in the waters of the Red Sea. Man, were those Jews ever happy? Were they ever happy? I'm grinning because I know what I'm going to say later on. I want to say it right now, but I can't. I'll say it after a while. Oh, they were happy. They got across the Red Sea. Praise God. But I feel a hunger pain. Where's food? God said, Moses, I'll take care of that too. He said, God talked to the angel, said, would you mind sharing some of your food with my people? God called it angel's food. And God sent some of that angel's food down. Can you imagine how they felt the first morning they went out there and saw the ground covered with the manna from heaven? Well, they ate the food. They said, what's going to wash it down? Moses went to God. God said, take the same rock and the same rod, smite that rock over in Horeb. He did. Can you imagine how they felt? But then months passed. Every morning the same miracle, but now they're griping. And they started sliding notes under Moses' door. That's what I was looking forward to saying. And the note should have said, Moses, praise God, the man is still coming. Glory to God, it's still on the way. But they didn't say that. They said, we're tired of this manna. We're tired. We sure would like to have some of those watermelons and cucumbers and onions and garlic of Egypt. Well, that doesn't sound like a good menu to me. You never went to Cracker Barrel and said, give me some onions and cucumbers and watermelon and garlic. You never did. And God got so disgusted. It upset God so much. So God sent fiery serpents to the people. You know why? God performs miracles. He doesn't like it to be taken for granted. He doesn't. It's still a miracle. Wake up and enjoy it. I cannot forget. When Ms. Hiles and I were in the Holy Land the first time, we went to Fort Worth, Texas, and Dallas, and Houston. But we went to the Holy Land. On the way, we stopped in London. We got a cab and asked to be taken to Spurgeon's Tabernacle. Used to seat 5,000. Now they cut it down to 1,700. We couldn't find a way in. There was no door that said office area. No way to get inside. And finally, we went around to the back and beat on the door, and a lady came as a staff member there. I said, could we come in and see the tabernacle where Spurgeon preached? Well, she said, it's been changed. This is the same location, but she said, it's been cut down from 5,000 seats to 1,700 seats. I walked in there, and right above the pulpit was a dove. I could not help but think that heavenly dove is gone. That's the only one they got left in here now. I said, how many people do you have on a Sunday here? She said, on a good Sunday, 300. As I stood behind that pulpit, I saw 5,000 people packing that place every Lord's Day. I couldn't help but feel sorry for that little lady. She'd seen an awful lot. She was an older lady. She'd seen an awful lot. I couldn't help but feel sorry for her. I wonder tonight if you're going to end up one of these days having been cared for by God, protected by God, and the very fact that you can breathe and have air to breathe and water to drink and food to eat is a miracle of God. I wonder if one of these days those things are going to be taken away from you and you'll wish you had recognized the fact that it's still a miracle. I wish that the Bible had told us that when Hannah delivered that fifth child, I wish the Bible had told us that she took on over it. I wish the Bible had told us that Elkanah was so proud of that fifth child. I wish the Bible had told us what that fifth child did for God, because that fifth child was just as much a miracle as the first. Our Heavenly Father, I believe I've been faithful tonight to what I was supposed to say from behind this pulpit. I believe that I've been faithful not only to what I was supposed to say, but the spirit in which I said it. And I believe tonight that you need to work in our hearts, some of us, and help us to realize it's still a miracle. It's still a miracle.